Well, today is Reformation Day. Martin Luther put 95 theses and put them on the door of the church. The first nine were to talk about your faith. And the church had got away from just simple faith in Christ. It was, as even the Pharisees of the time of Jesus, man's rules and regulations were coming about. We wonder about the red color. The red color stands for the power of the Holy Spirit. It also represents that those who died for Christ. It means reform. Today, as we're going to go through, we're going to look at our own lives and not really share. It's a personal thing. Your relationship with God Almighty is personal. And we are encouraged at the time of Reformation to reform the way we think, to reform the way we act. The key points in Martin Luther's thesis of those 95, if you ever go through and want to read them, but the key points is that it is faith alone that brings you to salvation. It's not who you are, where you were born, how much money you have, how talented you might be. It's simply faith. Then, as the Lutherans, one of the blessed things that we hold as a church is God's mercy. Don't you appreciate that? God's mercy. God gave his best, his son, to die on a cross, not because we deserved it, because he had mercy upon us. And nothing that we are would earn a right to stand before a holy God. It's his mercy, faith, mercy. And Luther wanted to also stretch that in your life, it is not what I, as a minister, say. It is not what anyone else would tell you to say. It is not rituals that you might practice or understand. Your life needs to be built upon the scriptures. And that's what Luther was trying to get across. Faith, God's mercy, the scripture. And then he would share, as we all know, it's all about Christ. Every book in the Bible leads to Christ. The Old Testament tells of a God and that there needs to be a Savior. We would be judged in our sins. If there's no Savior, we have no hope. And the New Testament expounds upon how Christ came that we might be saved, and how living in Christ we should live. Faith, mercy, scripture, Christ alone, and God alone. There is only one God. And that's all the theses were on that Reformation. How is it that we got away from that? And he had to bring us back to realize that. But in history, it seems to repeat itself, doesn't it? From even the times of the Old Testament, the times of Jesus, the times of Luther, and maybe we look at today, and do we need Reformation today? Maybe we look at the world differently. Here he says to the Jews, he said, many of you believed. In verse 30, if you have your Bibles and you want to keep this open, in verse 30 he says, and he spoke these words, and many believed in him. And yet, as we read the passage, we found that many believed. And then he says, even later on in verse 40, he tells them that they are of their father, the devil. So there must be more than simply just believing that Jesus existed. There must be more than believing that Jesus was the Son of God. See, in the time of this writing, there's two things that have just happened. In chapter 6, there were miracles happening. People were getting healed. People were getting fed. And their needs and their desires were being met by the miracles of Jesus. It's easier to believe when the road's easy, isn't it? And what he's saying to them is that it's more than that. They believed, and yet they were their father, the devil. What makes a disciple? You ever wondered? You ever wondered? Are you a disciple? Well, I'm glad you already know, because then you don't have to go to homework. But when I preach, the homework, right? So in front of you may be a pencil, or you may have a pen, or you may wave to your neighbor and ask them if they have a writing utensil, and you can write some things down. I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and this is your homework assignment from the Bible. It says, first, examine who? Yourself. We have no problem examining other people, do we? Right? We like to try to do that sometimes. But after the message, when you're home this week or today, examine yourself. He says, how do I examine myself? He says, as to whether you are in the faith. Are you truly today, can you say I am his disciple? And he says, test yourself. I'm going to tell you how to do that today. Somehow ways to test yourself. How to examine yourself. And so take notes. And then try that today, tomorrow. The question he mentions to us and to the Jews at this time is, he says, do you know? It's interesting, the disciple John, when he writes a lot of his things, he says, I write them that you may know. So a lot of the miracles in that Jesus performed, he says in his gospel that he doesn't tell you all that Jesus did, but the ones that he chose to write about was that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Later he says, I write things that you might know that one day you shall be like him and know him as he is. The first question as you examine yourself, can you remember the time where you took the step of faith? Do you remember when it became clear in the gospel that you were a sinner? A slave, as he mentions to the Jews, that you were a slave to sin. It was a habit of life. All of us have sinned. But here what he's talking to them is not just one or two mistakes, is there was that's the way you lived. You didn't live for Christ. But how about today? One of the tests is, am I living in faith? Some of you show that by faithful attendance in church. Serving, as some stood up today, serving Christ. But sometimes when the road isn't easy, people fall away. Perhaps there's people you knew that used to attend church with you or made a profession of faith, but today if you see them, you could not tell them different than the world. Recently, I had to go to attend my sister's funeral. And it was amazing the outpouring of people that came. Her husband is a chiropractor, and just she used to do the office sometimes. There were just tons of people. But even in our own family, there's one has kind of fallen away. And we question even now on the way they live, what about their faith, that time of conversion? Was it true? We're not here to judge, we're here to judge ourselves. So what makes me a disciple? There's a thing called a benchmark. A benchmark is a standard, it's a measurement tool. It's a way of judging ourselves. So we're going to talk about the benchmark. How do I measure up? How do I test to see if I am a disciple? The next thing we're going to do is, if you are in Christ Jesus, what's the benefit? Why should someone trust in Jesus? Well, he told the Jews, if you are a son, you're part of the family. And you're not a slave, you don't have the habitual part. Doesn't mean you don't sin in your earthly body, but what it means is that that's not your pattern of life. You live differently. And so we're going to look at some things. Write this verse down, if you can. We're going to talk about abiding in Christ. This is the benchmark. Are you abiding in Christ? This is what makes the disciple. So we're going to start looking at abiding in Christ. David writes in Psalm 63:1. Listen to this. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. In that quiet moment, when you're doing the examination, can you echo what the psalmist David has said? You know, we always share, and we did at the funeral, Psalm 23, and David starts off, the Lord is what? My shepherd. It is a personal relationship with Christ. Does your heart, your soul, seek the things of God? That's the test. If you were doing a priority list in your life, where's God fit? You know, maybe when we're younger, we think of career, and God takes the second thing career is. Maybe sometimes family takes over part of what God is. Things of life we put above Christ. And it says, no, it's the priority is supposed to be Christ. Do we seek as David did? John 15:4 says, abide in me. Abiding is an active word. It means to endure. I used to, every time when the new year came, especially now as I'm getting older, I would think, oh, the next year's going to be a good year. Last year was kind of, you know, we had COVID, everything else. Or the year before that, certain things happen in life, and we say, oh, well, the next year will be better. I'm finding now every year is a tough year. Something happens, and it tests our faith. I have done many funerals. I have seen lots of people die. But when it's family, when it's a loved one, it shakes your core, doesn't it? There's an emptiness now our family has, didn't have before. I'm trying to fill some of that void for my mom. I call her now when I go to work, and I call her when I go back, because my sister was her best friend and called her all the time. Every year seems to be just a little bit harder, and then I figured, in life, this is not where my destiny is. Our destiny in Christ is where? Heaven. Anybody who's lost anybody, a little devotional, read Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and they wouldn't want to come back. They look at the splendors of heaven. But are we enduring what happens today? What happened yesterday? That's the test of your faith. If you're able to still trust and love and just desire Christ, even in those difficult moments, and you're enduring, you're a disciple. It says, remain in the Word. Stay in the Word. Are you in the Word today? You still have a Bible at home? Some of you may have it on your phone. Some of you may have devotional books. Do you spend time in the Word? John Piper was a theologian at Bethel University, and he said, hour by hour, trusting in Him to meet all our needs and be all our treasure. Is Jesus that precious to you today? When you found out your relief, that freedom from sin, and the joy hit your heart, do you still have that joy today? J.C. Ryle, he was a bishop in the Church of England in Liverpool, said, the habit of constant close communion is with Him. Now, how do I abide? What's the secrets of abiding? How do I do it? There's three keys. You want to write them down. One is to walk in faith. The second is to spend your focused time on Him. The third is to engage in intentional actions. I'll repeat those. You walk in faith. You spend focused time with Christ. And you engage in intentional actions. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says what? Trust in the Lord with thine, what? Heart. And lean not unto your understanding. Sometimes the things of God and the happenings of life don't make sense. But don't lean on what we understand things to be. Lean upon Him. Trust the Lord has something good in something maybe that might be sad or rough. Romans 10, 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do I abide? I have to be in the Word. It guides my life. It gives me strength. You want wisdom? Go to Proverbs. You want to talk about your heart and how you feel? Go to Psalms. You need encouragement? Go to Philippians. You want to learn about Christ and how He came and died? The Gospels. You want to know what you would be like if you were to be in a court and judged based on the way you act? Read Romans. You want to know how the church ought to love one another? Go to 2 Corinthians. You want to know what it's like when we have dear people that pass that we will honor next Sunday? Go to Thessalonians. The Scripture is where we need to be in abiding. We walk in faith. The next I told you was focusing time. You have to make time. And sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes the day goes real fast. You ever had that happen? It was like, where did my time go? I was going to do this and this. I don't have any time. Or sometimes it seems like they just drag out, and it's like, when is this day going to end? It seems to be over. Yeah, I don't know if you had that. But in the day, you have time for Christ, don't you? Are you making time for Him? That's one of your things you have to ask yourself. I have to ask myself. Is it in the morning when you wake up, start your day? Is it in the afternoon when you need a break, maybe lunchtime or whatever? Is it in the evening where you shut everything down and you spend a little quiet time? My dad's 91, my mom's in her high 80s, we'll leave it there. And the nice thing is they have always practiced having time. And right now it seems to be about 4 o'clock, 4:30, so I don't call then. And they spend time in the Word together. They read a little devotional. They pray together. You want to strengthen relationships between husband and wife? Spend time with Christ together. He brought you together. Spend time with Him. A.W. Tozer said, "If a man wants to be used by God, then he cannot spend all his time with people." How about that? You need some quiet time. Your time. Charles Stanley, in Touch Ministries, he said, "Spending time alone with God lets God inject to our bodies energy, power, and strength." Listen to what Jeremiah says, and sometimes when you just read scripture, you say, you know, I just want to stay in that book because it just common sense and it's interesting. Jeremiah says in chapter 2, verse 32, he says, "Does a young woman forget her jewelry?" Ladies. And he says, "Does a bride hide her wedding dress?" He said, "Yet for years on end, my people have forgotten me." That's pretty powerful. How do I know if I'm abiding? I want to see if I'm spending time in His Word, spending time with Him in prayer. I want to know, have I forgotten Him? James 4:8 says, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you." So if you're ever feeling like you're distanced from God, or God's not there, or something's going on, are you close to God? Are you allowing Him to come to you? You've got to spend that time. The third thing I told you about in measuring how we're abiding is not just by our faith, it's also by, are we engaged in intentional actions? Are we making ourselves do things to grow our faith, to share Christ? Philippians 4:6 says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication," means come humbly, "with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God." How do I know if I'm abiding? Am I spending more time complaining than praying? Am I more looking at the things that are struggling in life, or am I thankful that I was even able to get up today? Am I thankful for the short times? I'm thankful for you folks. It's good to see you. Good to be here. Carol called, and just to hear her voice was nice, and have an invitation to come and see you again. Are we that point in our lives that we want to see that we're praying, we're thanking God? I think it's interesting. There's two things that change a person from being sour. One is music. So that's a gift in a lot of ways, but hard to sing a song, especially a hymn, and have a sour face. Have you tried? That's so hard. The other thing I think that it makes it hard to be sour is to be thankful. Thankful to God for your salvation. Thank you for the spouse you have. Thank you for the joy of music and that I might be enjoying. Thank you that I still have my hearing. Thank you that I still have my speech. Thank you that I still have my eyesight. It's hard. The next is 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ, we are a new creation, and the old things have passed. When you examine yourself to see if you're abiding in Christ, if you're reformed to the way that Christ wants you to be, have you got to the point that you're different than what you were when you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Are you different? Or are you the same? The Jews said they believed, but there was going to be no difference in their life. They liked the part where you got the miracles, you got food, but they weren't ready for this type of commitment. Okay, you examine yourself, you go through, and you say, well, you hate to. What's the benefits of living this way? What's the benefits of reforming myself to Christ? John, in verse 31, he said, you can know. It's good to know things. And especially, it's good to know your relationship between a holy God. You can know today if you are a disciple of His or not by testing and examining. You can know if you're a true disciple, he says, indeed. That indeed is like an exclamation mark. It's kind of like when we heard that, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples would talk to each other and he'd say, He is risen. He has risen indeed. You can know indeed today if you're a disciple of His. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, the word is good for what? For teaching, for giving rebuke, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Want to know how to live a righteous life? Study the Scripture. Benefit is I can know today. I can be trained in a righteous way to live. And third, he mentioned to them, you can be made free. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who has given us the victory. Through who? We recited it all today. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may have been coming to this church for a long time, and nobody else may know, but you're not abiding. You've heard the things of God. They sounded good. You tried to be the best that you could, but you found yourself living the same life you lived all the time. There's been no real change. You can be a disciple today by trusting in faith in Him and the work of the cross. Others of you are disciples of His, and maybe in the time of years have gone by, or days or moments, you've drifted a little bit away. It's Reformation Sunday. You can reform and commit that your life will be a disciple of His by your faith, by spending time with Him, by reading the Scripture, and getting involved in the church, getting involved in different things that happen with other believers and helping them out. It's not for me to judge. It's not for your neighbor or your spouse to judge. It's for you to examine yourself today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is Reformation Sunday, and we want to reform our hearts that we might be more like David, that our heart would be in tune with You, and that we would just go and pant like a deer for water. We'd want to be in the Word. We'd want to be doing things for God. The first thing is, for those that may not have trusted in You and the work that You have done, we ask they do that today. They can know before they walk out that door that they are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And their sins have been forgiven. A pattern of life has been broken. And their sins, even if there is a sin, it's forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins. Help us to be thankful. And I'm going to ask, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if there's somebody here who has never put their faith in Jesus, would you just slip your hand up and we'll pray for you? And you could maybe even stay after if you want to make sure. Is there anybody here who has not trusted in Christ? Do so today. And then I'm going to ask, has God spoken to you today? That in time of reformation, you will commit, as you examine yourself, to spend more time with God today. Will you raise your hand if you're going to spend more time with God today? Thank you. So God, we trust you. Those that have committed to reform their life today to you, we're thankful. And help us in our weakness, and give us strength. Amen.